The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 5, Text 25, given by Dhanavir Das Vanachari on September 18, 1989, in San Diego, California.
Darkness of false ego, the first of the five elements, namely the sky, is generated. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the seer is in relationship with the seen. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The five elements, namely sky, air, fire, water, and earth, are all but different qualities of the darkness of false ego. This means that the false ego, in the sum total form of Mahatattva, is generated from the marginal potency of the Lord, and due to this false ego of lording it over the material creation, ingredients are generated for the false enjoyment of the living being. The living being is practically the dominating factor over the material elements as the enjoyer, though the background is the Supreme Lord. Factually, save and except the Lord, no one can be called the enjoyer, but the living entity falsely desires to become the enjoyer. This is the origin of the false ego. Similar to the situation where in society we say that the prison is created by the criminals, in a sense, although ultimately the government creates the prison house. But it is only there to serve the needs of the criminals who are a disturbance to society. Otherwise, there's no need for a prison. In the same way, people often ask, well, what is the purpose of this material world? If there's a spiritual world where God is existing, that is our real home, then why are we here? Or what is the meaning of it? The meaning is that the living entities have actually created, through the agency of the Supreme Lord, they have created this material world because of their desire to enjoy separately from the Supreme. Because of their enjoying spirit, the Lord has kindly allotted them this place. All right, you go there and don't disturb our activities in the spiritual world, which are pure and full of love. Because you have lust and greed and impure desires, you go and you have your own place and you can stay with other people who are similarly inclined. So in that way, the material world, the material elements, the whole thing is a concession by the Lord for the fallen living entities. Continuing in the purport. When the bewildered living being desires this, the shadow elements are generated by the will of the Lord, and the living entities are allowed to run after them as after a phantasmagoria. It is said that first the tanmatra sound is created and then the sky. And in this verse it is confirmed that actually it is so. But sound is the subtle form of the sky. And the distinction is like that between the seer and the seen. The sound is the representation of the actual object. As the sound produced, speaking of the object, giving an idea of the description of the object. Therefore, sound is the subtle characteristic of the object. Similarly, sound representation of the Lord in terms of His characteristics is the complete form of the Lord, as was seen by Vasudeva and Maharaj Dasharath, the fathers of Lord Krishna and Lord Ram. The sound representation of the Lord is non-different from the Lord Himself, because the Lord and His representation in sound are absolute knowledge. Lord Chaitanya has instructed us that in the holy name of the Lord, as sound representation of the Lord, all the potencies of the Lord are invested. Thus, one can immediately enjoy the association of the Lord by the pure vibration of the sound representation of His holy name, and the concept of the Lord is immediately manifested before the pure devotee. A pure devotee, therefore, is not aloof from the Lord even for a moment. The holy name of the Lord, as recommended in the Shastras, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, may therefore be constantly chanted by the devotee aspiring to be constantly in touch with the Supreme Lord. One who is thus able to associate with the Lord is sure to be delivered from the darkness of the created world, which is the product of false ego, tamasima jyotirgama. Tamasad api bhutadir vikurvanada bhunnabaha tasyamatra guna shabdo lingam yadrashti trishayo. This material world is in darkness. And the Vedic injunction is tamasima jyotirgama. Leave the darkness and come to the spiritual light. Come back to the light of Krishna consciousness. This is the real awakening for the soul, uttista jagrata. Wake up, because sleep is also darkness. And the living entities in the material world are asleep to their real situation, their real identity in relationship with the Supreme Lord. And they're very eager to try to enjoy this dark dreaming state. This whole material world is composed of daydreaming and nighttime dreaming. The whole thing is a kind of hallucination, because the living entity is trying to project his own enjoyment through the material body. It is his hallucination. He's thinking, I am a man and I'm American. And in this way, he's bewildered. And because they agree, the fallen living entities, they agree also to cooperate together in this illusion, so it becomes a mass kind of hallucination. All of us together, we agree we're Americans, and we agree we're men. But no matter how many of them agree and make votes and decide that this is the way life is, still they're an illusion. That's why we also say that we don't accept necessarily that just because so many people get together and they have a majority vote and they elect a particular person, that that's the best person, because they're an illusion. If so many dogs get together and select the biggest dog amongst them as their leader, that doesn't mean that he's the most qualified to lead. Unfortunately, everyone here in the material world is in the darkness of ignorance. And Krishna consciousness is meant to awaken him. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Minutanjena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. The spiritual master is respected and honored because his position is to awaken, to open the eyes of the sleeping soul and bring him out of the darkness of ignorance, bring him into the light of clear Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not some kind of dulling effect. Sometimes they ask us, isn't the chanting a form of self-hypnosis? Hypnosis is a subconscious state. But Krishna consciousness is a superconscious state. It is not reducing, but it is expanding beyond just our own limited experience, beyond what we can see or perceive with our senses, or even the knowledge that has been given by so many learned scholars or scientists. Actually, Krishna consciousness expands one's awareness beyond even the material universe, which most people don't even know that there's something beyond. But there is a spiritual world, as Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita. And in the spiritual world, there are planets, and the highest planet is Krishna Loka, and Krishna is enjoying there with all of his loving devotees. And that message, those activities can be transmitted. And they are transmitted through the Vedic scriptures, through the sound. Shabda, Brahman. So sound is so important because by this sound we can actually be transported to the spiritual world. Just by hearing about Krishna and his characteristics, his form, his pastimes, we, the fallen living entities, can be brought out of darkness and into the light of Krishna's association, which is all blissful. This is the special importance of sound. The whole material world begins with sound. This is also confirmed in the Bible, that in the beginning there was the word, sound vibration. So this tanmatra, beginning, the Lord begins the whole material world through sound, the subtle elements, and gradually, through transformation, with time, and the Lord's personal involvement, the different elements are developed, and the whole material world with its 24 elements is arranged for the temporary pleasure of the living entities. However, it is not the Lord's desire that we remain here. He wants us to give up this foolish attempt to enjoy these shadow elements, moving them around this way and that way and thinking that we're accomplishing something, changing bodies one after another. He wants us to hear about him. Machchitta madgata prana bodhiyantak parasparam katiyantas chamamichanti charamanti. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are surrendered unto me. They derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. It's meant to give people the opportunity to hear and chant and converse about Krishna. Otherwise, there are so many other associations and places we can go. But you'll not hear topics about Krishna. There are some places where they like to talk about Krishna. But if they're not pure devotees, if they're not following his instructions, then that talk should not be heard either. Avaishnava makod girnam putam hari katamritam. Shravanam naivakartavyam sarpo chistaham itapayaha. Even though they may like to speak about Krishna, unless they're pure Vaishnavas, following strictly the principles of devotional service, one should not hear from them. Just as one should not drink milk which has been touched by the lips of a serpent. Someone may say, well, why is that? Sounds a little bit harsh. Can't hear from someone about Krishna if he's not pure Vaishnava. He may have his own feelings. Yes, he may have his own feelings towards Krishna. But because we are interested in the pure, the essential understanding of Krishna without any adulteration, then anything less than that will be unfortunate for the hearer. It will have a opposite effect. It's like the Prakriti Sahajiyas. They like to talk about Krishna also. But we should not hear from them because of their consciousness and their behavior. They may be addicted to take intoxication or to enjoying in a mundane way with women. Therefore, their understanding of Krishna is not correct. The Mayavadis also may speak sometimes about Krishna. They may hold big Bhagavat Saptaha, and some Mayavadi may come and speak all about the pastimes of Krishna. But they should not be heard either. Because their goal is to merge to become one, and ultimately they think that Krishna is Maya. And the Prakriti Sahajas, they take devotional service very cheaply. What to speak of mundane scholars when they start speaking about Krishna? They include all kinds of ridiculous misunderstandings that they start analyzing with their own limited senses. Well, it couldn't have been 5,000 years. Maybe it was only 1,000 years or something like this. Or some mental speculators, they begin speaking about Krishna, that Krishna and the five Pandavas, it's the five senses in the mind, and Kurukshetra doesn't actually refer to a real place. It's just the body. And in this way, they start giving their fanciful interpretations. We must be very careful who we hear from, because this hearing is so important. And if one hears, just like at the time of initiation, how is the initiation performed? Through hearing. The spiritual master vibrates the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The disciple hears the mantra, and then he chants, trying to chant in the same way as he's heard from the spiritual master. He's initiated into a mantra. First the Maha Mantra, then the Gayatri Mantra. These mantras, when properly chanted and properly heard from the spiritual master, have immense potency to liberate one. Very easily, especially the Maha Mantra. Although there are many mantras, and one may chant so many different mantras from the Vedas, but the greatest of all mantras, as confirmed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the Maha Mantra. That's why we chant the Maha Mantra. Sometimes people ask, why couldn't we chant some other names of God? Yes, any name of God is nice. It also depends on the position that the person is in. If they're very much attached to a particular name of God due to their culture and upbringing, what have you, then yes, by all means they should chant that name. But if one has the opportunity to take the Maha Mantra, and he can do so, then that is the most beneficial. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has especially emphasized this. And also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is specifically mentioned that the age of Kali, Kaler Dosha Nidei Rajan, Eka Hyasti Mahangunan, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya, Mukta Sangha Paramvrajat, that the name of Krishna is the special good, great quality in the Kali Yuga, which is an ocean of faults. So we should not avoid chanting Krishna's name. The impersonalists prefer to chant Om, so they don't have to recognize the personality of Godhead. That's also Krishna, Omkar. But we don't chant Omkar because the impersonalists are chanting that. We also chant Om at the beginning of Vedic mantras, but primarily our chanting of transcendental sound vibration is Krishna's name. And the effect is very nice. By this chanting, one can always remain in touch with the Supreme Lord in any circumstance. And we should practice, because death may come at any moment. And how will we remember the Lord? We may be able to remember His form, or we may be able to remember some of His characteristics, but especially His name is easy to remember, and we can chant, and our mind will immediately think of Krishna. Krishna and His name are none different. Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The holy name is pure. And in our chanting, we should try to avoid the 10 kinds of offenses which are recited in the morning. This will make the progress very quick. Otherwise, if one chants with offenses, then he'll still be able to progress, but at a much slower rate. It may take a long time. Just as when one wants to light a block of wood, if the wood is completely dry, it lights much easier than if it's wet. If it's wet, You can go on. You'll have to put the flame there for a long time before it dries it out and then lights it. So in that way, we should go on chanting. But even if one is committing offenses, he should go on chanting. And that chanting will ultimately purify him. We were discussing that earlier, how it is generated for the false enjoyment of the living being, as Prabhupada says here. So the living entity, the jiva souls, are the marginal potency of the Lord. And because of their desire, then the Lord manifests this place for them. So in that sense, it's generated. It's not that the living entities themselves are creating all these things, but because of their desire, man proposes and God disposes. And in order to fulfill their desire to enjoy, Krishna arranges for this. It's like a little child wants to imitate the mother's cooking. So the mother doesn't want the child to cook on the real stove because she may get burned. So she makes a little stove and says, here, you cook on this. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.